God is good. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. We started there last week. Anybody been climbing trees this week? Anybody been climbing trees? I've got one. Remember last week we said sometimes if you're in the jungle, you got to climb the tree to see where you're going? I'll just preach that again if y'all didn't remember. Glory to God. No, the reality is that we're in Christ Jesus. Amen. You and I are in Christ Jesus. And one of the bigger reality is He's in us. I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. I rely on His anointing. I rely on His quickening. And the reason I can rely on it is because Jesus paid the price so that I could be called right with God. It doesn't always feel like it, but it's always the case. It's always the case. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at this a little bit stronger. And if last week we titled the message, Where Are We? But today I want to talk about living in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit. You know, you don't always have to feel it. Right? I mean, isn't it true? Sometimes we like to feel it. I like the, woo, glory to God. And there's a phrase that's called being drunk in the Spirit or intoxicated in the Spirit. And we get that out of Ephesians chapter 5 where it says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Drunk in the Spirit. Just intoxicated with the Spirit. Now, I've experienced that. I know that. I know the other two because I lived there at one time. Something about being, that equation about being drunk in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, you know, drunk with wine and then being drunk in the Spirit. It's like you can relate some things. When I was drunk with alcohol, I didn't care what you thought about me. I'd do things that probably I wouldn't normally do, right? And I'm not going to go into all that. I'm not going to glorify that. But when you're drunk with alcohol, sometimes you do things, say things that you normally wouldn't say. It's amazing to me that you get a person drunk enough, they'll give you anything they have. Right? I mean, many times I'd go to the bar on Friday night, just to have gotten paid, wake up on Saturday morning and say, where'd all my money go? Yeah. So why am I saying that? I'm saying that if we're filled with the Spirit, we're not going to be that concerned about what others think. We'll give as God directs us to give. And we won't worry about what we have left over because God is our supply. Right? I want to be filled with God. I want to be filled. And it's important for all of us to begin to learn to live in the Spirit, whether we feel it or not. Why? Because others need God in their lives, and God wants to use you as the channel to bring it. Come on. When I'm praying for somebody else, there's something about praying in English and praying for myself. But when I pray in the Spirit, there's another level that kicks in and I can pray according to the perfect will of God. And there's some things that I don't understand while I'm praying it, but I know that it's completely effectual. Come on. It's doing something. The Bible says a fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Right? So we have to be able to live in the Spirit. But if we don't have an understanding of what that means or how that was accomplished, we'll go by our feelings. Everything's going good. I feel like I'm in the Spirit today. Has nothing to do with your feelings. Has nothing to do with your feelings. It has to do with who you're related to. Come on, yeah. Come on. I just feel like there's some folks in here today that need to be stirred up, that need to be pulled up, that need to be lifted up, that need to get past their feelings and let God begin to move in them in a powerful way. Glory to God. And we're going to see in Romans chapter 8 that there's two groups of people, and the two groups of people are before and after. Everybody say before and after. And what is the before and the after? The dividing line is Christ. Before I got saved, before Jesus became Lord of my life, and after Jesus became Lord of my life. How many in here are saved? Come on. How many have given your heart to Jesus? Won't it be great the day when we come in here and there's a third of us that can't raise their hand because they haven't met Jesus yet? But we brought them, and they're going to meet him before he leaves. Yeah. Glory to God. You know, that's our commission. That's what we're supposed to do. Glory to God. But watch this. We have made Jesus the Lord of our life, so now we're in Christ Jesus. We'll read verse 1, and then we'll go on. It says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if I'm, as we said last week, I'm going to review just a little bit, that because Jesus paid the price for me, the penalty that was associated with everything that I've ever done wrong is gone. Is gone. Is gone. Now watch, this is so critical and so real, because the penalty brings all kinds of things. Penalty for something that's been done sometimes put restrictions on people. Some people may have committed something 20 years ago, but they still don't have all their rights back because there's a penalty that's associated with it because the condemnation is still over them. Right? But the Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation. In other words, you might try to hold me back because of what you know about my past, but you cannot if God is propelling me to the future. And in that, the only person that can keep me in condemnation is me. If I realize and am fully clothed in who I am in Christ Jesus, then I will not allow my past to dictate my future. I'll allow the Spirit of God to dictate my future. I am in Christ Jesus. So let's go on. Verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? Before Christ, I was under the law of sin and death. And I'm just simply going to say that law is you sin, you die. If you sin, you're separated from God. If you sin, then God has no place in you and you have no place in God. But the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, that, by the way, if you're born again, is in you right now, has freed us from that law. In other words, I'm no longer separated from God because of my sin. Now, is that an encouragement to just keep on sinning? I'll use the words of Paul. A little earlier in Romans, he said, God forbid. Now I'll use my words. That's stupid. Right? That's stupid thinking. Why? Because even though the penalty is gone, sometimes there's repercussions for our stupidity. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Watch. But the law, look at verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus bore my iniquity. He took my iniquity. Come on. He took everything that I offended God with, or that was an offense toward God. He took it upon himself. He said, I'll take your place. You know, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and when you went into a Catholic church, and still today, if you go in there, there's a crucifix behind the altar, and Jesus is on it. And I understand the meaning for that and all of that. But the reality is Jesus is not on the cross anymore. Because he finished the work. He finished the work. But this is the deal. The law of life in Christ Jesus is that he took my place so I get his life. Do you know that no person is good enough to be with God? The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So in our flesh, this verse says, it's impossible for us to please God. In other words, the more you try to please God in your flesh, the more frustrated you'll get. Hey, there's so many of us that are, God, if I only pray enough, if I only read enough, if I only do this enough, if I only... And we're comparing ourselves one to another. Right? You have your favorite Christian celebrity. What a joke. Your favorite Christian celebrity, and you'll go, man, if I was just like her, if I was just like him, if I know that he prays all the time. I know that she's just always in the Spirit. The reality is we're all in the same boat. Right? Whether with Christ or we're without Christ, but now I have the life of Christ working on the inside of me. The Spirit of the life of Jesus is working on the inside of me. And that which I couldn't do in my own, Jesus did for me. Glory to God. I'm in the Spirit because I'm in Him. Let me say that one more time. I am in the Spirit because I'm in Him. When I associate myself with Jesus and I place myself where He is, then I position myself in a different spot. I'm not on the outside of heaven trying to get in. Do you understand? Because I'm already seated with Him in heavenly places. So when I'm talking about walking in the Spirit, what I'm really saying is that you have to close your mind off to your flesh trying to get it by some religious duty and understand that it's your position that was bought and paid for by Jesus. Come on, come on. I am right with God because Jesus is right with God. I am holy as He is holy because of what Jesus did. What does that do for me? Everything. Everything. How many have ever had this thought? Jesus, don't come today. I haven't been very good today. Right? Come. Jesus, not today, man. You know my attitude. You know what I did. You know I yelled at this person. You know I did this. You know I... And my thoughts, oh God, you said, if I think it, it's just like doing it. Oh, Jesus, give me a couple of days to repent. Right? See, that's wrong thinking. Absolutely wrong thinking. You know what the Bible says? That if you mess up, you're supposed to ask for forgiveness. And you know what He says after you do that? He's faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. And then He'll wait 2 weeks to see if you mean it. No. He's faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, I don't have to get in the Spirit by doing some action in order to be able to be used by God to pray for somebody else. I just have to know that in the Spirit, I am with Christ already. And when I lay hands on the sick, it's under the authority that He's given to me. The commission that He's given to me. And so it's not my responsibility to get them healed. It's my responsibility to allow the Spirit of God to use me to impart the anointing into them. See, we're waiting for the feeling instead of acting on what He said. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm anointed of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I got to tell you that, and especially in the past, not so much anymore, but in the past there were days I would be on the worship team worshiping and going, I got to preach, and man, I don't feel a thing right now. But what did I do? I spoke to myself and said, listen, it doesn't matter what you feel. You are. Let me say that again. It doesn't matter what you feel, you are. I am in the Spirit. I am anointed of God. I will open my mouth and He will fill it. Why? Because I'm living not just in the Spirit, I'm living with the Spirit. Sometimes the only reason that we can't hear the voice of God is because we have the voice of the flesh so ingrained in us that I can't hear God, because God's got to be mad at me because He knows what I did yesterday. He knows what I said. He knows how other people view me. He knows, and God's going up there, oh, oy vey. He's going, no, you don't understand. I don't see you that way. I see you in my Son. Scripture's like, as far as the east is from the west, I'll remember your sins no more. I'm glad He didn't say north or south. Right? Because if you go north, there's a point coming if you're on the earth, and the earth isn't flat, by the way. You're gonna get the picture. As far as the east is from the west, I'll remember your sins no more. He said, I'll take that stony heart out and give you a heart that can contain my Spirit. Glory to God. That happened the moment that I made Jesus the Lord of my life. So as we're reading through these verses, we have to see ourselves in the position of being in Christ, not being in a vacillating world where, well, if I do this, I'm in the Spirit. If I don't do this, I'm not in the Spirit. If I do this, I'm in the Spirit because of Jesus. Come on. I'm in the Spirit because of Jesus. Now, there may be things in my flesh that I need to put down, obviously, and there may be some things that I need to evaluate in my life, but positionally, I'm in Christ Jesus. Right? I'm in Christ Jesus. So my prayer or my ability to go before God is not based on what I've done or haven't done. It's only based on the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! I love it. Look at this. Verse 4 says, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. Amen. Fulfilled. Fulfilled. The righteous requirements of the law are fulfilled. Get this picture. That means it's already done. That means it doesn't have to be accomplished again. It means it's fulfilled. It's fulfilled. It's done. Have you ever gone to school and you had to get so many requirements in to fulfill something before you could be called something? In other words, whether it's a bachelor's degree when we went to Bible school, in order to get our certificate, we had to finish all of the classes and finish them successfully. But the moment that we did, we were no longer a student, but we're now an alumni because we graduated. So I didn't have to go back and take those classes again because I didn't act like the right student or alumni when I got out. All I had to do is hold the thing up. That says, no, I'm an alumni. Here's my card. See, the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled. Have you ever read the Old Testament? Have you ever read in, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers? Have you ever read the requirements? If you do this, then you've got to do this. And if you do that, then you've got to bring a bull and a heifer, you know, all of the things. And if you can't afford that, bring the turtle doves and you bring them before. And watch this. And you can't just bring them in. Now, this is really liberal, but you can't just bring them in. You got to take a bath before you come in. You got to make sure you're wearing the right clothes before you come in. You've got to do all of these things to get prepared in order to bring the sacrifice in to take care of your problem. See, in order to fulfill all of the requirements of the law, you had to do all the steps of the law. But once you did all of that, you were okay until the next time you messed up. And then you have to do it all over again. Right. But watch. Does it sound? But the righteous requirements. In other words, all of those things were right. All of those things God put in the earth for a reason, but they were all right. The righteous requirements of the law were fulfilled in us. I'm glad I don't have to take the ox or the bull or the sheep or the goat or the turtle doves or to Jerusalem and have them slaughtered in front of me so that I could become okay for another year. It's fulfilled in me. It's done. It's finished. It's finished. Jesus paid the price, so it's finished. So I don't have to do something to get into the Spirit. I am in the Spirit because I'm in Christ. Because the righteous requirements for being right with God were fulfilled in Jesus. Watch this. The law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, some people would put the, okay, now if I do everything right, then I'm walking in the Spirit. But if I do one thing wrong, then I'm walking in the flesh. No. 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 We're all walking in the flesh. We're all walking in the flesh. Even when the anointing comes on me, I begin to preach or whatever I'm doing, I start out in the flesh because I'm flesh. But I'm not walking in the flesh even though the flesh is here. I'm walking in the Spirit because that's where I'm positioned. So this I don't walk anymore in my life according to the flesh because the flesh has already been dealt with because the righteous requirements have been fulfilled. So I'm walking in the Spirit. See, the enemy would try to keep us with the flesh thinking so that we'd live under condemnation so that we'd never accomplish anything for God. Who are you to go tell somebody about Jesus loves you when you sorry thing? You know, after what you did and after what you said and after all God's done for you, and who are you? I said, listen, I'm nobody. In fact, if you really wanted the truth, I'm a dead man walking because I died with him. But I didn't just die with him on the cross. I was buried with him in baptism, but I was also raised with him like he was raised on the third day. And I'm living out of the resurrection, not the crucifixion. Amen. Come on. Come on. Now, there are days I have to go to the cross with my flesh and say, no, you're not going to do that. Right? There are times. But the only way that I can conquer that is to live out of the resurrection. Because that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me. And once I renew my mind to that, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the perfect will of God. So it's living out of that renewed space that I'm no longer walking according to the flesh, but I'm walking according to the Spirit because of what Jesus did in me. Glory to God. Verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Here's what I want you to do, is to begin to set your mind on the things of the Spirit rather than setting your mind on the failures of your flesh. I am not who I was. I'm in Christ. There's, you know, tape series, all kinds of books, everything on in Him realities, in Him scriptures. They're awesome. And I understand that everything that I do that's productive for eternal life in the Spirit is because I'm in Him. If I wrote an In Bruce series, that wouldn't look so good, right? I mean, the In Bruce realities. The In Bruce reality is that I mess up. Yeah, I know it's hard to believe. The In Bruce reality is that I'm not always capable of doing what's needed. The In Bruce reality is I'm limited in my capacity to get things done. The In Bruce reality is that I cannot conquer some things, habits, or whatever in my own life. But I refuse to live in the In Bruce reality. Because when I became in Christ, I let Bruce die so that the life of Christ could be lived through me. So in Christ I can do all things. He'll supply all of my needs according to His riches, glory in Christ Jesus. Nothing is impossible because I believe in Jesus. Right? I believe in Him. And because I believe in Him, it changes me. So I'm going to begin to think about who I am in Christ. Come on, I want you to begin to think about it, to talk about it, to rehearse it, to remind yourself of it. How many in here at times feel less than? Right? That you're not good enough, that you'll never, you know, I mean, you might make it to heaven, but barely. Right? God loves you, but you're not quite sure how. See, you're thinking about who you are in the flesh rather than who you are in the Spirit. See, in the Spirit, we're all in Christ Jesus, so we're all the same. What does that mean? Quit comparing yourself to somebody else. Quit trying to measure up to somebody else's relationship with God and begin to develop in your thinking who you are in Christ Jesus. Right? Because in Him, come on, in Him, you're more than a conqueror. In Him, you can't be separated from His love. In Him, you have the mind of Christ. In Him, He's made unto you wisdom, sanctification, and redemption from God. I am in Him. Come on. Woo! But I've got to set my mind on that. I've got to begin to develop that. Because why? If I set my mind on who I am in Bruce, then I have to live under the umbrella of condemnation that's associated with that. You know, the devil is a louse. He's a bully, right? He's an abuser. Here's what he'll do. First of all, he'll talk you into doing something. Right? Come on, do it. You know, God won't mind. Just do it. Eat the apple. It's okay. Just eat it. It's all right. It's going to be good for you. Do it. And then when you do it, he puts you under condemnation for it. What was the first thing that happened when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit? They were naked and ashamed. They saw themselves for who they were in the flesh, and it brought nothing but shame upon them. God wants you to get your heart and your mind turned over to being in Him so that shame disappears. See, Jesus became, this is so cool, Jesus, the Bible says in Romans and in Hebrews, it says He is the propitiation for us. That word, I don't use that in my everyday language. But really what that means is, if you look it up and you go back, Jesus is the price of the atoning work. Atonement. He atoned for us. What does that mean? That He paid the price so that I could be right with God. He's my atonement. He's my atonement. God sent Jesus into the world so that Jesus could become the sacrifice that atoned for our mistakes. So I'm walking in the light of what Jesus has done. And so I'm setting my mind on the things of the Spirit rather than the things of the flesh. Even in this time that we live where, you know, I saw this one thing I thought was great. If you want peace, turn off the electronics. Right? Sometimes it's so true. But what I'm saying, if you want peace, turn on the mind of Christ. Begin to figure out who you are in Christ Jesus. Look at this. Verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." If you're mindful of your limitations, if you're always mindful of what you've done wrong, you're living under the condemnation of your past, then to you, you're walking around, you know, like Linus and Charlie Brown. Remember the dirty blanket, right? Or one I like even better, Eeyore. Oh, no. I can't do anything. God might answer somebody else's prayer, but He's not going to answer mine. I'm just a worm. See, but that's our attitude sometimes. When it's like, yeah, in myself there's no good thing, but I'm not by myself. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. What's he saying? Man, I'm dead. I'm dead in me. In me there was no good thing, but I'm no longer in me. I'm crucified with Christ, but never the yet let I live. In other words, I'm here, I'm on the earth, I'm living. I get up, I go to work, I pay the bills, I do everything I do, but I'm not doing that just as I was before, because now my position has changed. When I'm talking about living in the Spirit, I'm not necessarily talking about living in the clouds somewhere. Really, it's not the woo. Don't talk to me, I'm in the anointing. You know what I want you to do with those people? Run! Because something goofy is coming. I'm not saying that there's not periods of time where you get alone with God and you shut everything out. And I'm not talking about, but I'm talking about those people who are so, you know, up in the clouds that it's like, get real. Get real. I'm going to live here. when I'm going through something, I'm going to remain in the spirit rather than remaining in the flesh. One of the best illustrations of that for me is just this, is Paul and Silas were taken to jail, and they were beaten, and they were put in the bottom of the jail. And it says, at midnight, they were singing songs. They had to get out of the flesh because the flesh hurt. The flesh was whipped. The backs were bleeding and bruised and all of that. But they got in the attitude of, God, we just thank you for the opportunity to suffer for your namesake, and we're just going to begin to worship you. And so they got out of the feelings of the flesh and reminded themselves of where they were in the spirit, and it set themselves up for a great miracle. See, God has purchased the price for you to live in such a way that you can constantly walk with Him in the Spirit. But it's not dictated whether you feel it or not. It's dictated where your position is. Your story that reminds me of, it's like there's a young girl. She's you know, just turned 16, and her dad went out and bought her this brand new car. I mean, it's a beautiful car, little sports car. You know, it's red, and it's got a black convertible top, and it's brand new, and it's fast, and it's everything. You know, it's just everything you would have wanted at 16 when, you know, from your dad to buy you. And he says, it's your birthday, you can have it. And so about an hour later, she comes, Dad, I really want to go to the store, but I can't. Well, why can't you? Well, you know, I just don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know. What? Where are the keys that I gave you? Well, they're in my purse, but I just don't want to. I'm not sure if I'm worthy. I'm not sure if I should. I'm not sure if I. Come here. Right? I gave that to you so that you had the freedom to go. God has given us freedom in the Spirit so that we can go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, there was a portion in Acts where he said, don't go yet, wait until the Holy Spirit has come. But the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and he hasn't left. And to all believers, he's living on the inside of us. I'm not living just with the Spirit, I'm living in the Spirit, and more importantly, the Spirit is living in me. Come on, you're getting something today, right? Because we've got to get past the feelings. Well, I don't feel it. I don't. Forget all of that. I'm in the Spirit. I hear the Spirit of God because I am His sheep. I'm one of His little lambs, right? I'm one of His little lambs. I know His voice. How many have ever felt like, I don't even know if God talks to me anymore? Yeah, I've been there. God, are you even talking anymore? You say, yes. But you have to get to the place where you believe that. Years ago, I had to make a decision, and it was when I was going to Bible school, I had to make this decision, and I'd go to counselors, like our teachers were our counselors at school, and I'd make an appointment, I'd go in, and I'd share my problem, and really the guy, I'll never forget, he goes, man, that's tough. Like, I don't know what you're going to do. I mean, that's basically, I went, oh, great help you are, right? And so finally I made an appointment with my associate pastor at the church that I was going to. I walked into his office and I told him the same scenario. But before I said it, I said his name was George. I said, George, I don't know if you're going to be able to help me or not. Here's what he said to me. Never forget it. He said, well, let's not limit the Holy Spirit. See, because the difference is that he was living in the Spirit, with the Spirit. He said, let's not limit the Spirit. And I went through the scenario. He says, that's what he said. He said, sounds like you need to hear from God. Great, right? You need to hear from God. Well, duh. But here's what I said to him. I said, George, I don't know if I even hear from God anymore. His response to me was this, oh, yes, you do. Because he knew in his spirit that I was born again. He knew in his spirit that I knew Jesus. He knew in his spirit that I had come out of condemnation and come into Christ. He said, here's what we're going to do. Many of you have heard this story before, but I'm sitting in his office, and the church office was a little 10 by 10 thing with, you know, but it was paper thin walls to the next office. But he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray in the Spirit as loud and as fast and as hard as you can. I'm thinking, okay. So both of us, we got after it. I mean, it was Pentecostal in there, I'm telling you. We were praying in the Spirit, loud and proud, and we did it, it seemed like about 10 minutes or so. He said, now just hush. And man, I just felt peace come upon me. I didn't get the answer that day, but I got the way to get the answer. So sometimes we've got to shut the mind of the flesh, the feelings, the emotions, and all that down, and just begin to live in the Spirit. Say, listen, I don't care what I'm thinking. I heard somebody just recently, they said, in order to hear from your heart, because that's where the God communicates with you, you have to pray it long enough that your mind shuts down. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I have. That's absolutely true. Because your mind is going, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about this? What about this? This could happen. That could happen. This could happen. That brings confusion. And you've got to get back to the place where I'm walking in the Spirit. Because I'm in the Spirit. And for those who have received your prayer language and speak in tongues, what an awesome gift that it is that you can just get alone and communicate with God in the Spirit and just begin to pray in unknown tongues and just pray until your mind is unfruitful. I mean, and you just get at peace and say, okay, out of here, I'm hearing from God. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor can indeed be. In other words, if you're trying to get to God by your flesh, you can't do it because it's impossible. Why? Because it's still true that God cannot, will not associate himself with sin. So if you're in sin, then God can't be associated with you. But let me just clarify that for a minute. Being in sin and under the dominion of sin means that you're not saved. But once you get saved, sin no longer has dominion over you. Right? It's a positional thing. It's not a, I did 10 things right today and one thing wrong today. It's not that scorecard. It's a relationship scorecard based on the blood of Jesus. You know, I've been saved a long time, and I used to think that, man, I got saved and just saved a couple of months, and somebody had saved a couple of years, I'd look at them and go, wow, man, they must really be tight with God. And then you get some brother that was saved 10 years, you go, whoo. And then I ran into some people that had been saved for 30 or 40 years. I think, man, they must really have it right with God. Like, equaling what actions they did since they got saved put them in a better position to know God than what I had. But the reality is, at the moment that I get in Christ, it's the same. But the more I renew my mind, it's going to lead me to the same conclusion that God is for me, God is with me, He'll never be against me, because I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I live in the Spirit because He's in me. Now my carnal mind, it's never going to get there where I figure God out. Let me say that again. In your mind, quit trying to figure out what God's doing. Quit figuring out why. We prayed, God, and this didn't happen like we thought it would happen. Stop it. I've said this before, and I think it's true. Faith and trust are in the same family, but they're a little bit different. Faith is, I believe this is what God said, and I believe He's going to do what He does. But trust is, even when it doesn't seem like it's working, God, I'm going to trust You anyway. I just refuse to back up. I refuse to go back. Glory to God. Verse 8 says, now watch, again, you've got to remember this positionally, because if you don't remember it positionally, if you don't read this positionally, you'll be going back and forth and be like that ping pong ball with the paddle, flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit, flesh, spirit, and I'm the ball. It says, verse 8 says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh man, I was in the flesh today. I got mad. I got angry. I did this. I did that. I lustful. I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at. I'm in the flesh. I can't please God. See, that's not the reality. You're not in the flesh if Jesus is Lord of your life. Now, I'm not telling you you can do those things and just get away with them, because there's consequences for your actions. What you reap, you're going to sow, so don't sow it. Don't do that anymore. And if you have, if that's a strong urge within you, get alone with God. Get somebody to pray with you and help you, keep you accountable to that, and get out of that, because you have the power in you to get over it. If it takes I don't care what it takes. I got a thing on Facebook, a young woman that some of you know, and she talked about that she'd been in counseling for a year and that God was beginning to open some things up to her. I said, I'm proud of you for willing to go there. But the reality is what she's seeing is what Jesus has already produced in her. And everything that had happened to her prior to that was a lie. In Christ Jesus. Verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Let me say that one more time. But you, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you are not in the flesh. So quit using that as an excuse to continue to do the dumb things you're doing. And begin to declare, I'm in the Spirit. I'm not of the flesh. Sometimes you got to talk to your own flesh and say, flesh, you don't rule me. The Spirit rules me. I refuse to be defined by who I am or who I was or what was done to me. I'm only going to be defined by the work of the cross in me. Come on. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. I'm his. You got to get that settled in your heart. I'm his. Not based on me, but based on Him. Not based on whether I could keep the law or keep the Christian law or keep what others are asking me to do. But I'm His because I gave Him my life. And I don't know why He did it. I wouldn't have picked me. But He did. For God so loved Bruce that He gave His only begotten Son. And when Bruce believed in Him, Bruce got eternal life. And when Bruce got eternal life, God said, I didn't come in the world to condemn Bruce, but that Bruce, through my Son Jesus, might have life. That's who I am. Because I'm in the Spirit. Because I'm in Christ. Come on, did you get anything this morning? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we just thank You for Your word today, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that we know that we know that we know that the moment that we gave our life to You, the moment we came to the decision that I was separated from God because of sin and that I couldn't do anything to fix it, that I needed Jesus. I needed the Messiah. The moment that we did that, our life was changed. And we're no longer who we were. If you're listening to this, if you're watching this, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Or maybe you did at one point when you're little, but you haven't been walking with Him. Turn your life over to Jesus. Just say with your mouth and believe in your heart, Father, I just thank You right now that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the one who paid the penalty for my sin. I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and that, Father, You raised Him from the dead. If you did that, then God came to live with you this moment. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you from your past. Just go with God because God is going with you. God bless you. Father, we pray over every need right now in the name of Jesus. Those that are watching, Lord, we just pray over them. Father, we ask You to bless them, to heal them, to meet their needs, Father, in Jesus' name. We drive fear away from people, God, because we can rest in Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Lila, would you come?